kicking yourself for not walking out when you could. Be a judgment. But don't you worry, son. It will all be over soon.
Anton, give me a boy's name that starts with the letter H.
Jose.
How do you go about pronouncing it? Ian. Ian. Pretty straightforward. Occasionally, you may hear it pronounced as Joao. It depends.
It's called Rex Quando.
Look at me now. How far we go back? Elementary? Jump rope? High and go see? Pity pat? Red light, green light? Red light, green light?
Hello? You play to win the game.
You are tuned in to Straight Bet Sports on the Gorilla Cross Radio Network.
Wednesday night, time to get it going. Quan got the music playing in the background. You already know what it is. Jose V, Straight Bet Sports. You are tuned in live here on the Gorilla Cross Radio Network. Really appreciate you guys chiming in, tapping in, getting ready to just chop it up. Listen to us tonight. I'm comfortable. I'm chilling. I'm relaxed. As you see tonight, I'm just going to sit back and let Ian run the show tonight. No, I'm just kidding. What's good, Ian? You good, my man? How you doing tonight?
I'm good. I'm good. I think I'm a little more awake than you are. You look a little tired there.
Tired, man. It's been a rough week already. I know it's only Wednesday, but I feel like it's already Sunday, man. It's been tough. It's been rough. I just came from the UNLV game. They were up at halftime, 36-30 over Seattle University. Seattle University coming in at 7-2, man. Not a bad team there. Not enough people in the stands, though, man. Kind of look like a media practice. I posted it out on Twitter. Some people made fun of it. Some people agreed with it. It is what it is, man. But, again, you are tuning to Straight Bet Sports live here on the Gorilla Cross Radio Network. I am your host, Jose V. Ian B. in the studio with me as well, my co-host. And, of course, Quan59 behind the big board doing what he does for us every single night. If you guys are watching this here, please do us a favor as we ask you for every single Wednesday night. Press that like button. Press that share button. Drop a comment in the comment section. Let us know what you want to talk about or anything that you feel maybe you disagree with us or you just want to give your comment on anything that we're talking about. Feel free to chime in. And if you want to give us a call, the number, as always, 702-608-3259. We don't get that many people calling in. We get people on the Facebook feed. We get people on the Twitter feed. And I know you want to drop your comments, but give us a call, man. We don't mind hearing your voice. We want to talk to you as well. There's a lot to talk about. NFL season coming towards the end. Some teams are skeptical. Some teams are smoke and mirrors, as I've been calling it. Some teams are legit, man. Yeah. I called the team that a lot of people thought I was crazy when the season started. I know the season isn't over, but they're beating teams that some people thought,
man,
were the teams
Patriots
that they
look,
have to.
They look
don't,
good
don't
on
say
Monday.
Yet. Don't say it yet. We're not going to talk about that yet. But you know
they
what I mean,
good, man.
There's just a lot to talk about. But do us a favor, man. Share the feed. We are live on all Gorilla Cross Radio platforms. What I mean by that, on all social media. So you can watch us live on Gorilla Cross on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, and, of course, the Gorilla Cross app. And if you want to watch any of our previous shows, check us out on YouTube. Jose Volonte, Straight Bet Sports with Jose V. And, of course, Straight Bet Sports on YouTube, Twitter, and Facebook. Instagram, we're out there as well. Trying to make the pages grow, man. Trying to do a lot more. I know some people like Instagram. I know some people like Facebook, Twitter, whatever it is. Not everyone's on the same platform. But we greatly appreciate each and every one of you. Goose Thomas chiming in from Let the Ball Bounce on Facebook. We appreciate you. Ian over there chiming in. Finally, for the first time, we get Ian to drop a comment on there. Primo Eddie chiming in as well, watching as he does every single week. But got a lot to talk about, man. You gave me the list this week. I'm going to give Ian credit. We're going to give him a little bit of executive producer credit, if you want to call it that. But tonight's show log is basically set up by Ian with the big smile. He's looking a little lost right there on the screen. But, yeah, man, we got a good show. We're supposed to have a good friend, Sosa the Locksmith. He's a part of Daily Bread Media, one of the guys that does a lot of sports gambling, sports consulting. I mean, these guys bet everything. There's a lot more to betting now. It's not just betting the games, betting the size, betting the totals. You got prop bets. You got team totals. You got player totals. You got guys to throw assists, three-pointers, steals. There's so many different things
it's
that you can bet on.
Now.
Exactly, bro. And not every book in Vegas offers it, which is crazy, which we'll eventually talk about that as well. So if you're a gambler, that's huge out here to know that there's a lot more to bet on and not just the actual total sides and the normal stuff that you're used to. Yeah. But we're going to talk about the Heisman Trophy class. A lot of finalists came out. We obviously know now who is going to be there. We know who the front runner is. We're going to talk about that and how he got there and basically solidified that spot. because a lot of people know or say that he wasn't already there to begin with. Championship weekend. And you know what? Before we get into the other topics of the night, which we can talk about that later, I got to let you guys know who our sponsor is, obviously. If it wasn't for him, we wouldn't be on the air. So if we can go ahead and do that now before we get into our first topic of the night. Thank you so much, Quan. Appreciate you so much.
We are brought to you by Joshua LaFon with Simply Vegas Real Estate, a realtor here to help educate current and future Las Vegas locals on selling and investing in real estate. You're probably asking yourself, educate. Yes, there's a surprising amount of adults that when it comes to real estate, don't know the right questions to ask, don't know where to start, and think they need a lot of cash to buy a house in Nevada, which simply isn't true. So Josh has decided to make it his responsibility to teach his clients what they need to know, and equally important, what they need to ask, to help ensure making their homeownership dreams a true reality. So make sure you call or text Joshua LaFon today at 702-813-0533. This has been another paid advertisement from Joshua LaFon with Simply Vegas Real Estate. Make sure you give him a call, 702-813-0533.
Greatly appreciate Joshua LaFon doing what he does for us. If you guys are looking to get some Raider tickets, Raiders Broncos tickets, let me know. Josh got some tickets that he's trying to get rid of. He's a season ticket holder. Sometimes you go to games, sometimes you don't. So hit me up in the inbox, straightbetsports@outlook.com. We'll definitely get you hooked up with some tickets there if you're trying to do that. But we got a lot to talk about. Ian, one of the things that you emailed me that you brought up to me was that you wanted to talk about the championship games.
Yep.
Obviously, college football playoff is back. And I basically told you, man, I just want to talk. You know, I don't want to be all robotic. You know what I mean? Let's just have a conversation. Let's talk about what we saw. I'm not sure if you had a chance to see the whole game, but like I told you earlier today, I got a chance to actually sit down for the first time all college football season, sit and watch a full game from beginning to end.
Yeah.
I've been able to watch a lot of these games. A lot of them have been highlights because I haven't had time all season to watch games fully, right? But I've watched enough of it to know what's going on, to know what teams are doing, to see what these Heisman Trophy candidates, which we're going to talk about here a little bit later on as well, are doing, right? Now, the game with Alabama and Georgia was, and I wanted Sosa to be on the damn show. That's why he's... freaking guy's probably asleep right now. He's in Philadelphia, so it's the East Coast. He's probably knocked out. You know what I mean? Let's see. Oh, I thought I was getting a text message, but it's not him. But anyways, that game to me was one of the greatest games I've seen in a while.
It was.
Because there was so much talk, so much chatter about Georgia's defense, right? Generational defense. Mm-hmm. One of the best defenses we've seen in college football, probably ever, a long time, if not ever, right? No one's been able to touch this team. No one's gotten close to this team. But yet, they haven't given credit to teams that technically have been in it. Kentucky was kind of technically decency in the game. They didn't, you know what I mean? They didn't get blown out right away. They were in it in the first half, and then Georgia ran away with it. I know they held a lot of teams below 7 points or whatever it was. But look at even the start of the season. I know Clemson ended up not being the team that they weren't expected, right? But they didn't blow out Clemson, and Clemson was ranked higher than them to start the season. It was a 10-3 final in that game. It was a close, close game, right? I thought, and I said it all week leading up to that game after the show, I still don't believe in Georgia because of the Nick Saban factor. The fact that it's still Georgia, right?
Yeah.
It's still Nick Saban. It's still one of his disciples. And I know Mike Davis, when we had him on the show, he said that he hasn't lost to a disciple. That's actually wrong. He lost to Jimbo Fisher first time this year against Texas A&M. But the thing about it is, you're Georgia and you haven't done it against Alabama yet. I'm sorry. Call me a guy that sounds like I don't know football. I throw out everything. I throw out the stats. I throw out the numbers. I throw out the X's and O's. I throw out all that. I look at who's coaching, who's not. I look at the history. As crazy as that sounds, call me a conspiracy theorist.
It makes sense.
Exactly. I just look at what's out there. Like a lot of people say when I say, oh, Alabama quarterbacks don't pan out in the NFL. You're not giving a guy credit for his stats or this and that. I of course I'm not. I'm just going based off of history. And I can do that because history is there. And history has shown you cannot beat Alabama while Nick Saban is there if you're Georgia, right?
Yeah.
So leading up into that game, I'm sitting there going, this is the first time in 9 years that you're giving me Alabama as an underdog, right? As an underdog.
Doesn't happen very often.
I hit up Sosa early in the morning that day. He's like, bro, just go with Alabama. We jumped on a space. He was like, if you're taking Georgia, we'll make fun of you at the end of the game, blah, blah, blah. We'll talk about it later, this and that, right?
Yep.
I even posted. I'm like, bro, I didn't bet much. I'm not a huge bettor. You know what I mean? But I bet enough to where it was a nice hit. So I hit him up. I'm like, bro, thank you. I'm like, thank you for keeping me sane and not allowing me to listen to these so-called specialists and analysts on ESPN and everything you see on TV telling you that Georgia is generational, that Georgia is different, that Georgia is one of a kind, that Alabama's never played a defense that way. Okay, well, Georgia hasn't played a quarterback like Bryce Young all season. And it proved. I think the kid had either 300 yards or almost 300 yards passing at halftime.
He had close to 461 total yards. This is my thing with this is me and Sosa actually disagreed on this because we had Alabama winning that game for two different reasons.
Hold on. I keep that thought. Don't forget it. But I have to say this because Quan just threw it out there, and we got to give a shout out to Jamal Hill from Detroit, from Michigan. He's a UFC fighter, just won his fight. He should be undefeated, by the way, if you haven't followed his career. The only loss he has was because he dislocated his arm. Keep that in mind. The kid should be undefeated, knockout artist. I posted it on Twitter before the fight started. You're going to give me Jamal Hill at plus 150? I'll take it. Thank you. You gifted me. He won the fight, came out and won it. Quan just posted it on Facebook because Chris Wynn, our good buddy, chimes in. He goes, I could be wrong. Both Michigan teams won this past week, Lions and Wolverines. Fans rejoice. Quan goes, every time Michigan's Jamal Hill wins, that's why we give him the shout out. In his UFC fights, the Lions win the next day.
Interesting.
Lions won their first game of the season after Jamal Hill won the fight.
I'd have to look that up just. So, that's interesting. If that's true,
It's Quan Sadramis. Quan knows it all. Trust me. Quan will not post stuff out there that's not factual. And then Chris said,
because I saw Sunday. I didn't realize Sunday. I knew Jamal Hill had fought a year ago pretty much from the date that he fought this past Saturday. And then during the Lions game when they won, they mentioned that the last time Lions won was a year, 364 days ago, and that was the last time Jamal Hill won. He won. The Lions won the next day. Neither of them had won for a year almost, 364 days, and it happened again. Jamal Hill won. The next day, the Lions won. So next year, when the Lions get their first win, it'll be after Jamal Hill victory in the octagon. Right.
So, Chris, you just heard that. The last two times that the Lions broke their undefeated streak was after a Jamal Hill win. So if Jamal Hill fights and the Lions haven't won a game.
The problem is the Lions play every week. Jamal Hill fights twice a year.
Yeah, so it's a bit different. But
so count on them to have one or two wins a year.
Bro, but that's a crazy coincidence. But once again, big shout out to Jamal Hill. We've been trying to get him on the show. Hopefully we'll get him on the show soon. But big shout out to him and his victory, man. If you didn't see the knockout, sweet knockout, man. Yeah, watch it. It's on really YouTube. Nice. It's all over the place. ESPN, check it out. But go ahead with what you were talking about, Alabama. I do apologize. I had to throw that out there.
No problem. So Sosa was saying that he didn't believe that Georgia's defense was as stout as they are. And that is why Alabama was going to win, because of Nick Saban and their running back and their receivers. He felt that their corners hadn't actually covered real wide receivers, NFL-ready wide receivers, their entire season. And I somewhat agree with that. But I had said on a space earlier in that week is that Bryce Young is that guy. If Bryce Young was 6'5", everyone would be slapping generational talent. He was beating Georgia's defense consistently with his throws. Not necessarily that Georgia's defense wasn't covering the corners or covering the wide receivers correctly. It was more of the placement, velocity, and the decision-making of Bryce Young that won that game. And that's the thing. Everyone has him pegged as this, some mobile runner of a quarterback. He's not a running quarterback. He is a mobile quarterback that beats teams with his arm. And he is that good. He has one of the best arms I've seen in a very, very long time. And I really do believe that no matter who he's going up against, he's going to make the correct decisions. If you watch him, other than maybe Mac Jones, he has probably the fastest processing speed of the last four quarterbacks that Alabama's had. I think Nick Saban typically likes guys that are quick releases, but are 1-2 read guys that are pretty intelligent, but they don't have to be there yet. And I think that alludes to your point where Alabama quarterbacks don't necessarily work in the NFL. I don't think that's ultimately true that you go to Alabama and you're not going to work out in the NFL. However, I think Nick Saban hit a home run with the recruitment of Bryce Young, because I think this is the first quarterback that he's had that is not just athletically gifted, but he's also very, very smart. He processes the field very, very fast. He makes almost the correct read pretty close to 100% of the time. It's insane if you actually watch him. He is that guy. He's been that guy all year, and he's going to continue being that guy.
And what did I tell you earlier in the week when we had this conversation before, when we were basically our convos that we have all the time? Yeah. When I was sitting there, and I've never said this ever about an Alabama quarterback ever in my life watching Alabama football, have I ever said this while a kid was in college still? I'm sitting there watching Bryce Young, and this is before halftime, right before we even get to halftime. I'm sitting there going, wow, like, this kid is for real. Yep. Like, and I know you would agree with me because you said this, he's a mobile quarterback. He is not a running quarterback by any means. He was throwing some of the most beautifulest footballs that I've seen anyone throw.
Yep.
And I'm not talking about NFL, college, high school. I'm talking about any level of football. Yeah. He was throwing
darts. Those were
darts.
NFL throws. Those were absolutely, bro, NFL coverage throws.
There were plays where he was anticipating where the receiver was going to be, and they were on point.
And
I'm talking
he was
about
throwing darts
balls
in between
here,
coverage.
Receivers
yep.
here, boom. Like, the kid is generational. Like, absolutely. Like you want to talk about.
That's what I'm saying. If
you
want to
talk about
6'5",
Trevor Lawrence, people like to talk about space. When we're on spaces, people try to blow up Jennifer Lawrence. I mean, Trevor Lawrence. Jennifer Lawrence. I'm going to be thinking about something else. But I mean, Jennifer Lawrence is pretty good too. But Trevor Lawrence, right?
Yeah.
He is everybody wants to say he's a generational quarterback. Bro, exactly. You want to talk about generational. Bryce Young is legit.
Yes.
This kid is sick. And to think that a lot of people didn't even have him as the runaway front runner with the Heisman, which we're going to talk about
here
shortly.
He's been doing this since high school, by the way. Like, if you look
and he's
at
from California.
Like, don't know Bryce Young, look up his high school highlights. Like, he's been doing this in college this year. Absolutely. But he's been doing this since he is a freshman in high school. Like, he's that guy. He's that good. He could go in the NFL right now, probably take Tua's job. He's outstanding. And I think people need to actually look at it for what it is and not just say, oh, he's an Alabama quarterback. He has this receiver, that receiver. Cool. He was beating the coverage against Georgia, and they had good coverage. He was beating double, triple coverages, and he
Georgia's
was doing it
great
with his
corners.
Exactly. He was doing it with his throws. Now, again, I think that Georgia is taking a little bit of heat, especially their corners, when I don't actually feel like their corners did that bad of a job. Williams is fast. He might be faster than Ruggs. And they were still on top of him. That's the thing. The wide receivers weren't just running rampant on their corners. They were NFL open, which is a 1-2 steps in front of their guy. That, I mean, how do you play? He was beating perfect coverages with perfect throws. That's the truth of it. And I think Georgia is taking a little bit of heat here.
Once again, you're tuning to Straight Bet Sports live here on the Gorilla Cross Radio Network. I'm Jose V. Ian B. Quan 5'9", hanging out in the studio, chopping it up. We're talking some college football playoff. So let's get down to the point when it comes to this game. I've been high on Cincinnati all year, right?
Yeah.
So if I were to come back and basically said, Cincinnati's going to get blown out. They have no chance. No, I'm just let me get my point across. What I'm saying is, if I were to come at you and tell you, bro, Cincinnati's got no shot, Alabama's going to steamroll them, then I would look like a hypocrite, right? Because if you've been watching the show all season, I've been pushing for them.
Yeah.
I've been saying they belong, top four. They're the only undefeated. Why aren't they getting more respect? I think Alabama's going to beat them.
They got the worst possible matchup.
I agree with you 100%. I think Georgia, Cincinnati, Michigan, Alabama would have been a better overall matchup if the committee would have set it up that way. I understand where the committee's coming from. The only good option you have at a national championship would be Georgia and Alabama, if you think. But, bro, I don't want to see Georgia again.
I want to see Alabama, Michigan.
I'm okay with that. But I don't want to see Alabama. I don't want to see Alabama Georgia again, because it's just Alabama LSU all over again.
Yeah, exactly.
We've said it before, and we're gonna say it again. It's the same exact thing. It's the SEC bias over and over again. I understand that Georgia was number one all season, and the only loss was to number three Alabama or number four, whatever they were in the rankings at that point. They were a college football ranked team, but you played no one all season, and it was proven against Alabama, a team that has been ranked in the top four all season. When you finally played a team that was ranked as good as you, you could not compete.
Yeah.
They couldn't keep up. I'm sorry, Stetson is not the guy that's going to get you to a national championship. Let's be real. And we saw it in that game. Yeah. And as much as I take the hatred away, you got to put what's in front of you there. As much as I hate Alabama and dislike Nick Saban, they're great. And Nick Saban is a great coach. And as scary as it is.
JT time? You think so? Because he can't do worse.
Talking about JT Daniels?
Yeah. Can't do worse.
Not just yet. But here's the thing. With this matchup, going back to the Cincinnati thing, I like Cincinnati. I hope they make some noise. I would like to see them beat Alabama and continue that undefeated streak, because then it would kind of go back to the UCF conversation, which UCF is in the same division as Cincinnati, and they also went undefeated. But UCF didn't have the opportunity to be in the college playoff nor play Alabama, which won the national championship that year, right? Yeah. So I think this is kind of like redemption, if that makes sense. If Cincinnati can win this game, it's as if they're also winning it for the conference. They're winning it for UCF.
It'll be huge for CFP.
Absolutely. After the way that I saw Alabama, and again, I saw it from beginning to end, first time I seen a whole game this season, Alabama is just good on all sides of the ball.
If you think they were scorching Georgia, there's no chance that, I mean, Cincy's basically live or die by their offense. Their defense is nowhere close to the caliber of Georgia.
Their defense is Swiss cheese, bro.
So, I like Cincinnati to put up points here. Like, I think that they're going to keep it a lot closer than some people are saying this is going to be a blowout. I don't think it's going to be a blowout. I think they might win by, like Alabama might win by maybe, like, 9-10 points there. But I don't think it's going to be absolute, like, they're just running away with it. Because I do believe that Ritter and that offense is going to be able to put up some points up against Alabama.
So let's see where the line sits at. I want to see
especially with Mitchie out. So
I want to see where that line sits at for that game, just so we can get a little bit more. Okay, so that line.
Wait a minute,
this is old. No, these aren't updated yet. Let me see if I could get it updated real quick.
I want to say wasn't it like 7.5 starting out, something like that.
We'll pull up the odds later. I don't have them up right now. It's showing me something older than that. It's bringing up NFL, but I would like to see Cincinnati win this game.
Yeah.
But I just don't see it happening, with all due respect. I don't see it happening.
Your heart is with Cincy, but your brain is with Alabama.
The way I saw Alabama play against this so-called great Georgia team last week, it's hard to not remember that. Now, one thing I will say, and I got to do this for a buddy of mine, Chris. Go Bearcats, buddy. I got to say it for you, because I got to give you some hope, because I know you said that we're going to be given misinformation if we say the Bearcats aren't going to win. So go Bearcats for my buddy Chris. But my heart is going with Alabama. I think Alabama's going to pull this one off. Now, real quick.
Chris says that Alabama's going to beat Cincy by 17 points plus.
Alabama's going to beat Cincy?
Yeah.
Okay.
He says book it.
Book it.
Book it.
Book it. He wants to take the alternate point spread, so if you can find a good odd, take that out there. You might get paid. Who knows? But yeah, man, we're having a good time here tonight. Our guest, Sosa, I guess he's not going to be here. I mean, the guy's probably knocked out. Like I said, he's on the East Coast. He's on the Philly side of things. But before we move on to the second part of the show, we got to finish up this segment here, obviously. Yep. So second game.
Yeah.
We talked about it. Georgia.
So
who do you got? Who do you have in this Georgia-Michigan matchup? A lot of people feel, and I was listening to it on the way in,
this is going to be a close game.
A lot of people feel that Michigan should be the number one team in the nation.
I don't know about number one.
I'm not saying that's my sentiment. Yeah. I'm just saying that's what a lot of people are talking about.
I've seen that.
And you've heard it. It's all over the place.
Yeah, it is all over the place.
So after what we saw with Georgia, Michigan, hey, bro, Michigan's defense, obviously, Iowa's offense is trash. Let's be real. Iowa's offense is completely trash. Yes. They're not there.
Hutchinson, as well as that entire D-line, that D-line might be as close as a almost NFL-ready D-line as we've seen for quite a while. And Georgia's back end is better, I feel, than Michigan. Like, their secondary is a little bit better. So that's why I feel like Georgia should win this game, because they're going to make it really tough on Michigan's quarterback. However, I have more faith in Michigan and their O-line than I really have faith in Georgia's O-line and their quarterback.
Let me ask you about this.
I feel they're going to make it very uncomfortable for the Georgia quarterback.
Michigan's D-line. And the reason why I ask you about that, one of Georgia's biggest strengths was running the ball all season, right? Alabama kind of controlled that and kept that at bay and checked them a bit. Can Michigan do the same thing?
And that's
got to be the big question, bro.
I think they can. And not
Chris,
only,
what do you think? I know you're listening, but go ahead.
Yeah. Also, Michigan's OC has been doing exceptionally well the last couple games, where he's starting to balance it a little bit more, sticking with what works instead of like what's popular. So, like, he had a great run and passing attack versus Iowa, and I think that's important against Georgia. So, this is a tough game for me, because I do like Michigan. I really do. I think that they're definitely potential for an upset right here. However, Georgia should win this game.
All right, so here we go. I got the lines up now, so bear with me. We're about to talk about what we have right here. All right, Oregon, there we go. Pittsburgh, Arizona. Arizona's, by the way, Las Vegas Bowl, December 30th, 7:30 p.m. Arizona State versus Wisconsin here at Allegiant Stadium. Get your tickets. Get them now, man. They're already for sale. I already applied for credentials. Hopefully I get approved so we can go to that game. That'd be fun. But
I'm hoping UCLA wins their bowl game so they can come here.
Cincinnati, Alabama. The line currently sits at Cincinnati getting 13.5 points. Alabama's favorite. Money line is Cincinnati plus 425, Alabama minus 550, over and under 58.5. And that's in the Cotton Bowl. And then the Orange Bowl, which is the one we're currently talking about. Michigan sits at a 7.5 point underdog against Georgia at a plus 250 on the money line. Over and under 44. I kind of like the over in that. A lot of people like the under in the Alabama-Georgia game, and that went way over. I can see that happening as well. So I'll give you my takes real quick on what I like on the points. I'm going to stick with Cincinnati with the 13.5.
I am too.
I think they have enough decency to stay into that game and cover that at least. Backdoor cover, if anything, but Alabama wins that. With the Georgia-Michigan, I'm going to go with it. Yeah. I'm going to take Michigan on the money line. Plus 250. Give me Michigan on the money line. Okay. I do not believe in Georgia after what I saw them against Alabama. Those are my two plays.
I don't know if I'm going to take the money line, but I definitely agree with at least Michigan plus 7.5.
Okay.
I think that game is a lot closer, and it's going to come down to which offense is able to officiate or be more efficient against great defense.
So we're on different sides of the fences.
I believe a little bit more in Michigan's offense than I do in Georgia's.
We're on different sides of the fences. We both like Michigan. Obviously, I take the money line. You like the points. But still, we think that they're going to be in this game and that they're going to cover regardless.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens, man. These games are coming up. December 31st, New Year's Eve. Oh, man. So we have a lot to lead up to still talk about these games before they even happen. We're going to talk about it next week again. Yeah. A lot more analysis, a lot more things, a lot more people to bring on the show to talk about. So that should be fun as well. But before we move on to the next segment, which is a good one that Ian came up with as well that I want to talk about, because it makes sense, because there's a lot of quarterbacks going through a lot in the NFL right now. We're at the midway segment here on the show. We greatly appreciate everyone chiming in on Facebook, everyone sharing the feed and all that fun stuff here live on Gorilla Cross Radio. But if you could let everyone know who our second sponsor of the show is here, Quan. If you see tonight, don't have the hat on again. Got the hair nicely fresh and done. You know what I mean? Like, I had to go to the game. You know, I work today. I normally don't work on Wednesdays because of the show. I like to get prepped and do my thing. But Our second sponsor is Eric Navarro of Line 'Em Up by Eric. Hit him up at 702-884-8138 or on Instagram at Line 'Em Up by Eric, as you see there on the screen. Holiday seasons are here, people. I know you want to get cleaned up, lined up. Don't wait till the last minute. Don't wait till the actual week or the day of Christmas. Don't be that guy. Don't be Christmas Eve guy. Do it now. Get your cuts. Hit up Eric. Eric Navarro, best in the business. I say it all the time. I believe in the guy. He took care of me during the pandemic, and he continues to take care of me and my son now. 702-884-8138. Line 'Em Up by Eric on IG. We greatly appreciate you, my man. But the topic that you're bringing up, and I'm going to let you run with it, obviously. I don't take credit for stuff that's not mine. You already know that. You named it. Ditch or develop. We got quarterbacks that are worth keeping. We have some quarterbacks that looks like it's time to let go.
Yep.
Time to call it a day. Time to get your bags, get them packing, get going, hop on the bus, hop on a flight, call it a day. What do you see?
So, little story time here. Josh Rosen was a top 10 pick by Arizona Cardinals, right? 1 year, he had decent rookie numbers, right? They're comparable to Tua. They're comparable to a lot of these young guys. Their rookie year. Cardinals at that time did not have a lot going on for them. They didn't have the receivers. They didn't have the defense that they do now. So they didn't have a lot going on with them. They get a new head coach, and what do? They just straight up ship him packing. Now, there's an argument to be made. Did they do that too soon? Like, and is it malpractice with the other teams that didn't actually try to see what they had in Josh Rosen? Because I think it was when he went to Miami.
Josh Rosen.
Right? At the time, you had Tannehill.
Dumpster fire, bro.
But this is the thing.
Regardless of where he goes.
There's not enough sample size to even know if that's the truth or not.
So let me ask
now
you.
Now he's back up.
So what is it about Josh Rosen that you're using as your topic of conversation to this? What is it about Josh Rosen that you feel he's good enough for you to have to back him up in this conversation and bring it up and saying that they cut him too soon or he was a bad bro.
So it's more of the fact.
He's not an NFL quarterback.
Well, it's more of the fact.
He got to sit behind Tom Brady. He got to sit behind Tom Brady and hold a clipboard and couldn't make that happen. He couldn't make that work.
As a third stringer.
Doesn't matter.
He got buried in the depth chart.
Bro, if he wanted to, he could have stayed there and learned. He could have been a sponge.
Maybe.
He could have got opportunities, but he didn't want to, bro.
Maybe.
Because he doesn't want to be that guy. He believes in his mind that he is the guy that should be running an NFL team, and he's not.
But this is the thing with Josh Rosen.
He's not humble enough.
He also went behind Brady after, what was that, his third, fourth team? Like, he bounced around. He got buried in death charts. I'm not saying Rosen is good. I'm not. I'm just saying that in terms of evaluation, how do you know that he wasn't at least an acceptable starter, if not a franchise guy? So this is my thing. This is my segue into it, is that, look, we all have that overreaction on young quarterbacks. We do it all the time where 1 year, 2 years, we're like, oh, get them out of here. They're not good. They're not developing quick enough. And should we be a little bit more patient on these guys? Which brings us ditched or develop. So the first one I'm going to go with is Tua.
Oh, right. So Josh Rosen was just a way for you to segue into your... So you basically used one of the worst quarterbacks to ever get drafted as your segue to jump into this topic. Gotcha. Real quick,
no real evaluation on it, though.
This guy's good. Before you give me your first one, Goose chimes in. He says, Rosen talk a bunch of you-know-what.
He did.
And has done nothing to curve his mediocre ways. Because he never showed us that he was that great guy, basically.
He had 1 year to do it.
Chris Wynn chimes in and says, Jared Goff was the number one pick overall, and he's about to be washed out of the league or a backup. Very possible.
Absolutely.
But proceed with the first guy you had on your list.
Tua, right? You're starting to see a little bit more development from him. So my question is this. Now that he's looking like he's actually kind of healthy, right? He's getting more time consistently back-to-back games where he's seeing defenses. He's starting to look a little bit more like the Tua that we saw at Bama. So do we give him one more year, or does Miami completely ditch him and go for a Deshaun Watson, an Aaron Rodgers, a Russell Wilson trade?
So here's the thing. When it comes to Tua, remember, The only time we ever saw him do good or great was when he came in relief of your Jalen Hurts in the national championship game when no one had seen him play and looked great and won the national championship. Every year after that, he went backwards. What I mean by that, health.
Yeah.
The play went down as well. If we're talking about statistics and all that, he didn't look as great. Still a great college quarterback, but his health was different.
It was.
I was very, 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 very critical of Tua. Good friend of mine, Mike Dixon, he's a big Dolphin fan. He also, me and him used to go back. I'm talking about, me and Mike Dixon would have conversations of over an hour on the phone talking, bro. I'm not lying to you.
Yeah.
I swear to you, I'm not making this up. He can confirm this. We've had conversations of over an hour on how, no, yes, Tua's good. Oh, no, Tua's bad or this and that. And just going back and forth trying to prove our points and our cases. I was very critical and negative against Tua. I still don't know if he's, now I'm like, I don't know if he's going to pan out. But as he's getting healthier, and not only that, he just hit his 16th game. Remember that. Yeah. He just hit his 16th game.
He's still a rookie.
Exactly, right? He just finished his first full season when it comes to playing and being a starter in the NFL, right? He's getting healthier. I don't know about Brian Flores. I don't really believe in him being the guy moving forward with Tua, if you still believe Tua is the guy. But honestly, and I'm going to be honest, I don't think it's time to hang him up yet and say, let's trade for Deshaun yet and give up on Tua. I honestly don't believe so. Do I believe that Tua is going to end up being this superstar? I don't know yet. But do I think he's not? I'm not on that boat either anymore. As where before I was like, nope, he's not going to make it. He's not going to pan out
as a serviceable starter. At least, like, I think that he's going to win you games. I don't think he's going to lose you too many games. So I think he will be a great placeholder until there's that guy that you have to draft.
He's going to be that quarterback that's going to need a great defense to succeed.
Exactly.
And I'm not saying that every great quarterback has always had one. No, there's been a lot of great quarterbacks that have won with decent, mediocre, or even bottom of the barrel defenses. It's not always about defense. There's been quarterbacks that have won Super Bowls a la Trent Dilfer, which this guy claims to be great when he wasn't.
Oh,
but he had one of the greatest defenses ever to win a Super Bowl at that time. So that's what I'm saying. I think Tua would be the type of guy where if his defense helps him out a lot, he won't have to do that much on offense. He'll still be the leader, but his health, again, at the end of the day, is the biggest one. What else you got?
All right, so this one hits a little close to home. Hurts.
It hurts, doesn't
it? Jalen Hurts. Yeah, it hurts a little bit. I go back on and forth on Hurts constantly because I see things that I love about Jalen Hurts. He is mobile. He's elusive. He once he gets out of the pocket, he's really good. He's great in the red zone. I think we need to give him one more year because I need to see if he can start processing defenses a little bit faster. But I do think that we need to give him at least one more year to see what he's capable of, because he has this skill set to be great. He does. Now we'll see with one more year if he has the mind state, like if his processing is fast enough to be great. Because in reality, in this league, in the NFL, that's what you need to be a successful quarterback. It's not necessarily about your arm talent or your athletic ability. It's about what's between the ears. So can you actually make it happen?
People are going to call me crazy, but I've already seen enough in Jalen Hurts this year that I think he is the guy moving forward for the Eagles. Now, for everyone that saw Gardner Minshew play last week and now is starting to say that there's a quarterback controversy, then you don't know football. Like, I'm sorry, you're just trying to stir something up and start up a conversation and try to get clicks and likes.
Minshew's a solid backup.
You know what? Minshew is always, I believe, is going to be that
backup.
Guy. He's going to be that guy that... He's that Ryan. He's the new age Ryan Fitzpatrick, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
He is the guy that he's not going to be a starting quarterback and win you a championship. But if you need him to come in and play three or four games or be that backup when someone get hurt, he can come in and play because he's got heart. He doesn't care. Yep. He's ready to sling the ball, throw it out there.
And he is
But
fast.
Let's be real. There is no quarterback controversy. The guy came in. Look who they played.
Yeah.
Look who they played. Yeah.
I mean, Minshew's always been quick to make his reads, but even in the game against the Jets, he was severely underthrowing the wide receivers. It is just the fact that your corners weren't able to cover.
So it's safe to say, I know the Jets suck anyways, but it's safe to say that you agree that Jalen Hurts is he's not a dump.
He's trending towards the guy.
He's definitely a develop. He's not a dump guy. He's not a ditch guy. I'm sorry. No. He's definitely a develop guy. I like Jalen Hurts. I like what he's done this season, bro. I'll be honest with you. The way that he's adapted to the offense and what he does and doesn't have, and he's still so young.
Yep.
I mean, he's the only guy that was able to go to obviously, it was Oklahoma. I get that. Yeah. But he left Alabama and Oklahoma and succeeded at both. I know he didn't win a national championship in Oklahoma. Yeah. But let's be real. He succeeded.
But he was the reason why they got close.
And he was in the Heisman candidate. I believe
he is the runner up to Joe Burrow.
Insane, bro. Yeah. Insane.
I've never seen someone's value drop so drastically because of the quarterback play of other candidates in college.
And I agree
with Jalen Hurts.
I agree with Goose. Gardner Minshew is a backup in this league, and definitely there's nothing wrong with that. Like he says, there's nothing wrong with that.
He's going to win you games. He's a more. In my mind, he's a more consistent Nick Foles.
And it's funny you throw that. Let's just be real. There is nothing wrong with being an NFL backup if you know you can be great at that position, a la Nick Foles. This guy came in at the right time when a lot of people think there was a lot of pressure on him when there really wasn't.
None.
It was just, hey, I'm at the end already. I don't have to beat you. I don't have to win a full season. Yeah. I only have to play 3-4 games. I can do this. It's a shorter season. Yeah. It's different. The time frame to play people, they haven't seen him play either, which is another thing. They don't know how he's going to play. Yeah. So I think Jalen Hurts will be all right. I think it's a guy you develop. If you're the Philadelphia Eagles, you do not give up on him just yet. That's my take. You got
at
one
least
more?
One more year. At least one more.
What else you got? You got one more for us?
All right. Jordan Love. Now, the way that Aaron Rodgers is playing and the way that we saw Jordan Love play, does Aaron Rodgers sign for another extension, and do they treat it as a Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers situation?
Aaron Rodgers is gone.
Or do they treat it as a Tom Brady, Jimmy G situation where they ship out the backup?
Aaron Rodgers is gone.
You think so?
Aaron Rodgers is gone. I said it earlier in the season, and I still believe that. I still believe the Packers are going to win the Super Bowl, as crazy as that sounds.
I don't.
I gotta stick with it. I still gotta stick with it. You know what I mean? And another thing that's as crazy as it sounds, I think the New England Patriots are gonna get to the Super Bowl now. I said that they would win their division. I still have the video to prove it, but I haven't posted it on social media because I don't want it to go south and then people are like, oh, you tooting your horn too early. I said it and it's out there. If you want to look for it, go look up at my YouTube page. It's on there, Straight Bet Sports. You'll find it. Look up the show. It was the preview show that I did. And I talked about the Patriots and how much I like them.
By the way, efficiency-wise, Patriots are the best team efficiency on both sides of the football. They're third in offensive and defensive, which is the only team that has that high of marks on both. So,
but back to Aaron Rodgers and Jordan Love. I think Aaron Rodgers is gone. I think he could care less about Jordan Love. I don't think he thinks Jordan Love is any type of competition or any type of threat to him whatsoever. And if we're being honest with you, I feel sorry for the Green Bay Packers because Jordan Love is not going to be a quarterback in the NFL. He'll probably be a backup. He'll probably be a Mike Glennon type guy, but he is not going to be.
He is not going to be the savior. A year behind Aaron Rodgers, he would have been a lot better than he was when he played.
He is not going to be the next guy over Aaron Rodgers. Yeah. Unless Aaron Rodgers signs a 3-year extension and stays there and he's willing to hold a clipboard and actually learn the way Aaron learned from Brett Favre, I don't see it happening. I still think Aaron Rodgers is leaving, and I'm going to stick to this. Call me crazy. I still think Aaron Rodgers is going to the San Francisco 49ers this year. I still don't think that they're sold on Jimmy G, and I think that a guy like Aaron Rodgers signing a 2-year deal, let's say, and you're letting Lance hold a clipboard behind a guy like Rodgers, I think that makes more sense than if you're going to let this guy hold a clipboard and make him wait behind Jimmy G. Jimmy G hasn't done or won anything.
I have a scary thought that I've been thinking about for a while. Ben just declared that he's finally giving it up.
He's not going to Pittsburgh.
Aaron Rodgers in Pittsburgh would be scary.
No, he's not going to. Even Goose agrees with me. He says, not crazy at all, Jose. They have the best chance. I agree.
And
we're going to run it back. I'm saying it now, and Goose Thomas agrees with me, and I'm pretty sure Quan agrees with me. The San Francisco 49ers have the best shot, best opportunity to get Aaron Rodgers if he leaves this offseason.
Okay, in that case.
Well, he is leaving because he's already – he only signed a 1-year deal, so he restructured the contract. He'll be a free agent this year, which helped the 49ers because they got to keep their draft picks. Now he could sign as a free agent – instead of 49ers having to give up Trey Lance.
Yeah.
And so, like, Jose's right. Trey Lance could sit there for 2 years while Aaron Rodgers plays for the Niners for 2 or 3 years.
Is that what Aaron Rodgers wants, though?
That's his favorite team. He wanted to be drafted by them. Yeah. So why wouldn't you want to finish his career with them? And they have a really good offense anyways. They have an offensive coach. Yeah.
So you think
I don't see him going anywhere else, possibly Denver, but do you want to end your career in the cold? Or are you looking at what Tom Brady did? And, you know, it's not as warm weather as Tom Brady in Tampa, but it's still warmer than going to Denver or being in Green Bay or being in a cold weather city.
And it's weather that he's used to. He played at Cal. And like he said, he wanted to get drafted by the Niners, bro. And not only that, team-wise, whether you're a Niner fan or not, whether you dislike them or not. Bro, they are set.
They are set.
You
up.
Bring in a guy like, bro, you put a guy like Deebo Samuel with Aaron Rodgers, it's a wrap. I'm sorry, it's a wrap.
You think Deebo's be better than Davante Adams right now?
If you put him with Aaron Rodgers, yes. If you put Deebo Samuel with Aaron Rodgers right now, he's better than Davante Adams. Okay. And I love Davante Adams. I got on my fantasy team. Okay. But yes. You give Aaron Rodgers Deebo Samuel. Deebo Samuel is a better receiver than Aaron Rodgers. Okay. I mean, than Davante Adams.
Because of that, real quick, I will add one that I wasn't thinking about. But you said develop. But if you get Aaron Rodgers, do you develop? Do you develop Trey Lance or do you trade him for picks?
No.
They traded too much to get him.
Yeah.
You're not trading him. And he could still be the future. And you could still use him how they kind of have done this year. I wish they would do it more and put him in for some
Hill's. But do you want Aaron Rodgers? Like, does Aaron Rodgers want a 2-year contract? That's what I'm asking. Not that he wants to go to Bay. Does he want a 2-year contract?
He's 55 years old.
I thought he wanted Aaron Rodgers is going to finish out his career with whatever team he goes to.
Aaron Rodgers is probably going to do either what Brady did or he's going to go straight for a 2-to-3-year deal. You're telling me that the San Francisco 49ers would not give Aaron Rodgers
a
3-year deal with, let's say, a 3rd-year player option?
No one's signing someone at that age. I don't care who you are for more than that anyways. You're not signing a long-term deal with somebody in their late 30s.
Especially with a guy like Trey Lance. And you have a guy like Rodgers that he can sit behind?
I understand that, but my thing is this. If you're Shanahan,
that's going to also save your job, bro.
And like Goose said, Deebo, Brandon Ayuk, who's been playing much better. He started off the season a little rough, but he's been balling the second half of the season. And George Kittle, who will look again as the best tight end in the league if Aaron Rodgers is throwing him the ball, because Jimmy G loves throwing him the ball. He just loves throwing it over his head.
Yeah.
But do you want to be in a division with... You want to be in that type of division? Russell Wilson?
Russell Wilson's done.
You think
Pete Carroll's gone?
Where do you think he's gone?
Pete Carroll's leaving.
Seattle's going to be a bad team for 10 years.
Seattle's on the way down, bro.
I know 49ers are your team, but I think that's a little homer.
As soon as Seattle's defense started disintegrating, that Legion of Boom started going down, that was their downfall, bro. Seattle's done.
For 10 years?
I think Pete Carroll's going to dip.
It's the NFL. You could change every 2 years.
Pete Carroll's going to dip. Okay. I think Russell Wilson, they're going to trade Russell Wilson because he's still under contract, right? Even after this season. I don't think he can walk yet.
Sure.
Okay, so Joe Brady is the next Seattle Seahawks head coach.
But no, look, yes, I think Aaron Rodgers would want to play with San Francisco because you're going to stay in California. You get to play the Rams. You get to play the Cardinals, which aren't that far out. So you think about the radius, the travel, all that family. Just everything at the end of his career, like Quan said, the guy's old as dirt already, but he's still slinging the ball. The guy can still play. He's doing what Tom Brady is doing at his age. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. So you think Stafford wants to see Aaron Rodgers in the same division?
Yeah, that's true.
He's going to be like, I just left the division. Yeah, I got to see you again? Yeah. That's a great point.
That is a good point.
But you know what? I'm telling you, I'm going to stick to it. I honestly feel that the Niners are the best situation for him. If he does walk the way he said that he's going to walk at the end of the season, if the Niners are there and they're like, hey, let's do it, I guarantee you he goes.
I still think Broncos is a great situation for him.
But again, and Quan brought it up, and like we said, he
wants to go.
He has what he wants, meaning he has the choice.
Yeah, he does.
It's up to the teams. There's no waivers. There's none of that.
Yeah.
It's up to the teams that they say they want to sign him. So if he goes to the Niners and goes, hey, I want to play here, and they're like, okay, we can make it happen. We'll pay you. Done deal. It's a wrap, right? So we'll see what happens with that situation. Okay. But we got about 9 minutes to go, bro. We got a lot more to talk about, and we got to finish up because we got to get into our picks. Yep. We're not going to be able to get into all the topics that Ian set up for us tonight, but it's all good, though. We're starting to do some other things, some extra shows that we're doing aside just on social media that we're hanging out, having some fun late night. So you can chop it up. Hit us up on there. We'll be going live on Twitter and YouTube on the Straight Bet Sports page. It's just random. It's a pop-up. It's nothing crazy. We don't schedule it. So if you see us on there, hit us up. Chime in. Give us some comments. We're trying to talk about the things we don't get to chime in and talk about. But one of the things... Yeah. Whoa. What happened? I wouldn't say Debo is better than Adams. Youth is on his side, though. Okay. Yeah. Quad said he almost had to mute my mic on that one. Okay, I'm sorry. But before we get into our NFL picks, which I lost last week on a game that I thought was so easy and it wasn't. Heisman finalists, they're out. Yeah. Bryce Young, C.J. Stroud, Kenny Pickett, Aiden Hutchinson, named Heisman Trophy finalists here in 2021.
Yep.
Got a defensive player mixed in there from Michigan.
Yep.
We got some quarterbacks. We got some guys that are long shots. We know some friends of ours that have money on the guy from Pittsburgh here. Probably not going to happen. Safe to say Bryce Young ran away with it here against the game. The way he played against Georgia, right? There's no way that he's not going to win it. Now, some people said that it's the weakest ever. Sosa said it's the weakest class ever when it comes to finalists. I don't know about weakest ever. I think it's pretty bad.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's no one really close that had an opportunity to win. And it has become a popularity contest because quarterbacks are winning now. I know Devontae Smith won it last year, first guy since 91 with Desmond Howard. Yeah. But Bryce Young's going to run away with this, bro, There's no way he loses this.
No, he gets it. Hutchinson probably finishes in second. Shroud's third and Pickett's fourth, I think. That's how I would rank it. There's definitely some guys that probably got snubbed here. However, I also think that they need to move Heisman a little bit back. Like, wait until the actual national championship happens, at least. Like, wait until college playoffs are done for the Heisman. I get it. It's bowl games. Some people, like, for instance, like the defense, I'm drawing a blank on how to pronounce his name, Thibodeau, I believe. The Oregon.
Thibodeau. I think it's pronounced the same as the basketball coach. Yeah.
So he's sitting out of the bowl game. So I get it. It's kind of hard with that, but I still think that because if you do it this early, you have games like Alabama versus Georgia that seal it.
Yeah.
Right. Instead of actually seeing, okay, well, what does Pitt do in their next bowl game? What does Ritter do?
That's when it gets tough.
Because a lot of people thought Ritter was a Heisman finalist. So if Ritter beats, like if he outplays Bryce Young and Bryce Young gets it, do you think that there's going to be outrage because Ritter wasn't even on the list? So I get that, but I like Hutchinson on that list. I think he's had a phenomenal year. I do think that Williamson, the D lineman from Alabama that's having an outstanding year, he should also be on that list.
But he's not.
He's not. I think quarterback wise, those are the three really that are deserving of it. As much as I like Matt Corral, he's had up and down games.
You're just throwing out a bunch of names here. Let's get to it. You think that Bryce Young
runs away with it? I don't think there's any chance that anyone does. Everyone's going to also have that recency, like you said. They're going to remember all the amazing throws that he made against Georgia. So I don't think there's any way in voting that Young doesn't just straight run away with it. I do think Hutchinson will be close second.
So that is this Saturday, right? Yep. This Saturday, 8 p.m. Eastern time, so 5 p.m. our time. So we're in agreement.
Yeah.
Bryce Young takes it. Now, quarterbacks have dominated the award in recent years. 17 times since 2007, a quarterback has taken home the award. 4 times in the past 5. Last year, Alabama's Devontae Smith, as we know, took it, which was the first wide receiver since Desmond Howard in 91. Pickett's doing a lot of good things for Pittsburgh, though, man. I hope that he gets a lot of notoriety moving on in his career, going into the NFL. I think he'll be a great NFL quarterback.
I don't.
So we'll see how that ends up.
We'll talk about that next week.
Another topic of conversation. So we got 4 more minutes here. We got to get into our picks of the week. Not the best part of the show that I want to talk about today, but We know what we had last week. We know what we didn't. I had the Las Vegas Raiders. I thought the Raiders were going to come through. I really did. I thought a team in Washington could not win four in a row as an underdog, especially being on the road, right? Because the last three games that had won straight up as an underdog, they came on the road. But I'm going to say it was an embarrassing game for the Raiders. You know what I mean? It's a game that you thought they should have won. They didn't. They were probably high on their horse. I know Darren Waller was out. But I got to see a lot more from the Raiders, man. It was a tough game to watch. I was wrong. I lost. Ian actually has the updated stats of where we're at on the numbers. And it's
do you want me to tell
just,
them
just,
yours?
Just throw it out there before we give our picks. Go
I am A and three. Jose had two more weeks, but he's 4-9.
Yeah, fun stuff. But who did you have last week?
Last week I had the Patriots.
Okay.
Is at +2.5. You gave me +3. They covered both of those.
So. Monday night game.
Monday night game.
Correct.
Masterclass by Bill. That was excellent coaching. I thought that they did. I can't believe that Bills actually threw it 30 times. That to me was
so. Before you before you give me your pick, just a quick stat on that. Mac Jones, 2 of 3 passing. 2 of 3 passing.
Yep.
The whole game.
Yep.
The whole game.
Yeah.
Bill Belichick was wearing a Navy face mask before the game. He basically gave you guys the game plan. He said, we're going to run the ball. What does Navy do? They run the ball all the damn time. That's basically what they did. Yeah. It's just insane to watch, crazy. But before I get your pick of the week, they have now beat 2 teams in their schedule that a lot of people were saying they would not be able to beat. And if they did, they would be legit. They beat Tennessee, and now they beat Buffalo. Your pick of the week, though.
My pick of the week is going to be the Chargers against the Giants. They're just missing too many people, the Giants, to cover that. It's 9.5 currently right now. It started at 10.5, so people are jumping on Giants, but there's a good chance that Mike Glennon doesn't play. There's a good chance that Daniel Jones doesn't play. There's a good chance that Galladay, Saquon, Tony, pretty much everyone you can think of on the Giants is injured. It's pretty insane. They're missing a left tackle, a right tackle, a center. So I think that Chargers, even though Keenan Allen was placed on the COVID reserve list, he might be back. He might not. There's rumor that maybe Mike Williams will have to be placed on that list too. I think they'll be fine even if they don't play. I think Justin Herbert is back kind of in his groove. He made some phenomenal throws against the Bengals last week that only him and a few other quarterbacks can make, to be honest. And I think 9.5 is a pretty easy spread against the Giants and is in L.A. So.
It's actually 10. So it's -10. He's trying to get away with the half a point.
I have -9.5 right here.
We're going based off of scoresandodds.com. That's what I use on the show.
Okay, well, this is Boyd Sports, and that's what I'm going to be using going forward.
We're using 10 because that's what the show's been using for the last year and a half. So we're going to stick with scores and odds. You're taking the -10.
Yeah, okay.
It's okay. You got to win by 10 regardless, no matter what the fact is there. So you're good there. So my pick of the week here. Lamar Jackson is an elite athlete. He's not an elite quarterback. That's just my opinion. Again, everyone has their opinion. If you don't want to agree with mine, I get that. I think they're in a tough situation here going against Cleveland. I'm not a Baker Mayfield believer anymore either, but I think it's a tough situation, them having to go on the road to play a division foe this late in the season after the game that Lamar had previously. I'm taking the Cleveland Browns -2.5 in this game at home. That is my pick of the week. Call me crazy. The line sits 63%. Right now, actually, no, 50-50, so it's even money there on both sides.
I think
so
you're right here.
We'll see what happens there, man. I just want to thank everybody
take
for chiming
under,
in on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and all other social media platforms on the Gorilla Cross radio stations. We greatly appreciate you guys for chiming in every single Wednesday night, as you do. Quan59, thank you for doing what you do every single night on Gorilla Cross radio here on Straight Bet Sports. For us behind the big board, Ian, any final words before we get going?
No, just make sure you follow both Jose and I on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. We are going to try to talk a little bit more during the week, so just make sure that you're following us.
Big shout out to our sponsor, Joshua LaFond with Simply Vegas Real Estate, and of course Eric Navarro. Line him up by Eric. Hit him up on IG. For Jose V, Quan59, Ian B, everyone attached to the show, we greatly appreciate you guys. Till next week, same time, same bat channel. Peace.